Hey, everybody. Welcome to Best Show Bests, the best of the best show. And you can find out more about the best show over at thebestshow.net. It airs live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you're new to the program, this show, these are little bite-sized bits and greatest hits type samples of what we do every week. So if you like this, maybe you check out the full show. And if you want to support The Best Show, we have a Patreon set up over at patreon.com/thebestshow. That is how you support the program. It is listener-sponsored now, and you give what you can, and we appreciate it. And there are prizes and benefits at all different levels of giving. So again, go to patreon.com/thebestshow and support the show. And now please, without further ado, check out this episode of Best Show Bests. I'm being told to go to the hotline. I'm being told on the hotline is a FP, a famous person. Being told it's a high priority call on the hotline. Hello?
Hey.
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 I know who this is. This is Tim Heidecker.
Hi, Tom.
How are you, Tim?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm up in Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon.
Oregon.
Oregon. What on earth would bring you to Portland, Oregon?
Well, I'm developing it's kind of top secret. I'm developing a show, a TV show, comedy show, kind of a sketch show centered around sort of the weirdos and freaks and people here in this town. I don't know if you're not familiar with Portland. It's kind of, it's like Brooklyn meets San Fran. It's very full of hipsters and quirk. Like the quirk levels are very high. So we're working, we're putting a sketch show based around those kind of freaks.
So you're going to take it on is what you're going to do.
Yeah, we're going to, I guess you'd say spoof it.
Uh-huh. Now, are people up there worried at all that they're going to get lampooned by you?
Well, they don't know it. It's going to be a little mix of sketch and a little hidden camera.
Okay.
So you're it's sort of like if you mixed Saturday Night Live with Candid Camera. That's what we're going for.
Well, that sounds like a fresh approach, too.
Sure.
Because those are two of my favorite shows, first of all. Saturday Night Live and Candid Camera.
Yeah. And the later seasons of Candid Camera, too, were some of my favorites.
When Alan Funt kind of clearly was taping 15 episodes in an afternoon.
Right.
Like, they're kind of just like, Alan's going to be here on Thursday. We got to blast through half of the season.
Right. What about bloopers and practical jokes with Dick Clark and Ed McMahon?
Yeah, that, I wasn't such a fan of that. Although they were very gentle, and there was also no way that some of those were not completely staged to promote shows on that network.
Right,
we have, here's
a... They have that detective music that comes in.
And it was always at the end, they were always like, in tribute to the master of the blooper.
Right.
Kermit Schaefer was his name. Like,
oh, wow.
As if they had to pay homage to a guy who, I don't know what he did other than just, like, not throw out bad takes of something.
Like, right. So he was the master of screwing up.
Yeah, but I don't even know if he was. I think he was just, like, a TV producer who was just like, we should take all these outtakes and put them together. That's a show in itself.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to want to see. We'll call them bloopers.
We've got Ed for an hour.
Let's get him. We got Dick is going to be in, and Ed. Ed can come over from the Tonight Show set. Knock
out. Keep them separated. They do not get along.
Save
it for the stage.
So Dick and Ed didn't get along?
I don't know that to be true.
They would sit them.
I'm just playing with it a little bit.
Yeah, and you know Tim Heidecker, at Tim Heidecker, first of all, on Twitter.
Yes, thanks. I'm trying to bring my Twitter numbers up on this call. That's the point.
People's Twitter numbers have flatlined. At least mine have.
I think so.
Doesn't seem to be a hot spot anymore.
I know.
I think everyone who's
winding down.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder up at Twitter if they're just kind of like, look, this thing's wrapping up. Within three, just please, let's act like it's still not going down the tank and try to just like, nobody, like, don't steal stuff from the office so we can't do our jobs. Like, we all know it's going to be over.
Like it does feel like the cool kids left the forum a little while ago.
Yeah, yeah, and now it's just a lot of spam.
Yeah.
And people looking to argue with you.
Right. I still use it. I still am a functioning Twitter user, but this is not what we're here to talk about.
You know what we're here to talk about? You mentioned that you were, when you mentioned Dick Clark and Ed McMahon, you said you were playing around. Do you know who else is playing around? You are. You're playing around.
Nice segue.
Thank you. Why are you playing around? Well, it's simple.
Go ahead. Sorry, I thought that was a question you were going to answer. I didn't pick up on that. Go ahead.
No, I want you to answer. Why are you playing around?
Well, I'm playing music. I have a band, and we're playing songs and just doing some West Coast dates. Played Sasquatch the other night. And I'm in my musical phase right now, or my musical sidestep project that I'm excited about and very satisfied performing live music. And that's what I'm doing. So
now,
I'm just having a good time.
And unfortunately, the fruits of your labor, if you don't see Tim Heidecker and his band playing live, there's no way to get like a recorded version of what you guys are playing now. That's fair to say?
Not quite. I mean, we did make an album of the song of some of the songs.
So there's an album
In Glendale. There's an album out currently on Jag Jaguar. You know, a real record label, a legitimate source of music. Put out the record, and it's called In Glendale. And you know, they're just a collection of songs by me, without a lot of concept behind it, you know, without like this isn't a prank. It's not a candid camera style operation.
No, these are real songs.
Right.
And it's a strangely touching album in a way.
Well, it either is or it isn't, you know, I mean, if it's touching for you, that means, that I take it as a compliment. Listen, I don't know. I write some songs and put them out.
Well,
Well,
nobody's asking for an apology at Tim Heidecker. But this album In Glendale on Jag Jaguar is, it's kind of about a dude just living his life. Right?
Well, I suppose. Some of it is. It's, you know, I had a kid a couple of years ago, it procreated, and I've been able to reflect on that. And I'm not like stopping any other crap I do, but I just had these songs piling up and wanted to put it out. And you know, it feels good to release something that's not just a big gag.
Sure. It's
it gets a little old.
Well, at some point you wanna say something from the heart, if I can say that.
Sure.
And it feels like these songs are from the heart. for you.
That was the original title of the album, From the Heart.
From the Heart. Tim
some
Heineke.
Some from the Heart.
Some from the Heart. Others,
yeah, it's really
annoying
title.
Others not so much. Now, who are some of the influences on this? I hear...
You tell me.
I hear a lot of kind of... I picture listening to this album sitting on a beach.
Sitting on a toilet.
Sitting on a toilet? No.
I thought that's what you're going to say.
No.
No.
Yeah, I picture this album sitting on a toilet is exactly what a... Well, no. Or a back deck. You could listen to it sitting on a back deck, right?
That's fine. Yeah, but I mean, you say sitting on a beach, that's starting to sound like, you know, we got Mike Love on lead vocals here.
Mm-hmm.
Jan and Dean style.
Well, if Mike Love heard this record and said that he wanted to get in the studio with you, would you do it?
You'd have to.
You'd have just to see what it was like, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we've tried. We've reached out to him for various projects. In fact, and have not landed that fish yet.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's one of our goals to do something creative with him, just mm-hmm. for the experience.
Yeah.
Just to see, being around him
and to see the cap up close, right?
Yeah, you got to see the cap. Have you noticed something, and I'll attribute this to Greg for noticing this, but that Bruce Johnston is becoming Mike Love?
Bruce Johnston of the Beach Boys.
Right.
Is slowly turning himself into Mike Love?
Yeah, he kind of starts looking like him, and he's wearing the cap. He wears like a similar kind of cap,
mm-hmm.
and he's got it real low. And when you can look up, Bruce Johnston interviews recent interviews, and it's hard to tell the difference between him and Love.
He looks a lot like Mike Love now.
Yeah.
Like
I think there's
faces.
Some energy that's being transferred from mm-hmm. Mike Love to Bruce.
They're going to become
how, like,
one person.
You know how old couples start dressing the same
uh-huh.
and stuff? I think like that's what's going on between those
you
two.
You think that Mike Love and Bruce Johnston... They show up and they've got the same Hawaiian shirt on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Same color palette.
I'm looking at a picture of the two of them now. Mike Love, he almost looks like an android now, right?
He's looking rough.
There's like a robotic quality to him.
Very stiff.
Yeah.
And he's amazing, like, you know, they say he's this transcendental meditation guy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think he'd be like without that in his life? Like he'd have murdered people by now,
yes,
right?
Yes, he would be a rageaholic. he would have somebody just settling lawsuits all the time.
Capitol Records building would be burnt to the ground. There'd be no Capitol Records building.
Yes, he would just be there kicking it and punching it. until it falls down, trying to knock it down with his fists.
Right. But the music is... I'm a Randy Newman guy. I'm a Warren Zevon guy.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things I like that I... when I'm making music, I'm kind of thinking, you know, not necessarily... singing in their voice, but you know, it's like that's kind of my scene.
Sure, it's where you're operating from.
Right.
Now, what if somebody said,
towards.
Yeah, what if somebody heard it and they said to you, "Hey, man, I love your album. I hear a little bit of Dead in there."
Oh no, that's bad news.
What if they're just like, sounds like a little bit of Grateful Dead going on?
You got a really nice. What if somebody said you got a really nice voice? It reminds me of Bob Weir. Hey man, we're on this tour and we're driving, you know, many long hours, and we've been listening to the Sirius XM Grateful Dead channel.
Uh huh.
Have you gotten into that scene yet?
I would flip by it once in a while, and then I would just be like, "Wait, this is really what the Grateful Dead sound like?"
I know.
Like,
it's remarkable. Like, it's jaw-dropping that they have a career of any kind, let alone this notable legendary status because they're terrible.
Yeah, that they would be as bad as they are and to be the most popular band.
Yeah, like lauded over, and fans are like, you know, people have built their kind of lives around that music.
Analyzing it, just like pouring over. The guy, I'll say this, Tim, the guy who screens calls for me.
Is a deadhead?
He's a deadhead.
See, that's a bad sign.
I know, right? He loves them. He loves, and he'll talk all about, he'll talk about 78.
Can he, like, can he get down to the, like, can he make a case for it that makes any sense to you, or is it just?
He would play, he's come in and he said, check this out, and he's played these things, and it's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, it's,
right.
It's like, it sounds like one of those, like, Shreds videos of, like,
yeah.
But it's like, no, that's what the Grateful Dead, when I, you see one of those things, you're like, oh, this is clearly some people doing tuneless nonsense over,
right, noodling,
and saying it's the Grateful Dead. It's like, no, this is one of their most legendary live shows ever.
Right.
This is like the holy grail of.
Like, yeah, my perspective is they were a lousy, like, psychedelic band in San Francisco, just like, you know, putting up basically a sideshow for people to take drugs and dance and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the
and
Roots
Rob,
thing happened.
Probably Rob also.
Right. Then like, the Roots thing happened with the band and mm-hmm. everything. And they were like, just let's do that. Like, well, let's do that kind of music now.
Yeah.
And they made American Beauty, which is a good record. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, like, it's a fine record. Nice songs, pretty music. They made the other one, Working Man's Dead, is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Acoustic, you know, pretty country kind of music. And then that's it.
That's it.
And then they just go out and play Dancing in the Streets and Not mm-hmm. Fade Away.
Yeah.
And like Johnny Be Good.
Yeah. Good,
like,
Lovin'.
Who wants to hear Johnny Be Good for 15 minutes?
Yeah. Good Lovin'. Good Lovin'.
Yeah.
And the, well, what do you think about this, Tim? You're tied with the Grateful Dead just about. You've put together just as many good albums as they have.
Sure.
You did.
Well, the guy in this band that I'm with, the guy that helped me put this record out, this guy Jonathan Rado, who's in this band Foxygen. Do you know the band Foxygen?
I do, yes.
Yeah, they're good. They're good guys. So he's in my band now, where he's playing keyboards. And we've just been listening to the station, so we started writing all these Grateful Dead songs. So we're going to put out like a Grateful Dead album when we get home, because they're so easy to mm-hmm. write. We've written six of them in a day.
You mean like new Grateful Dead songs?
Yeah. We're called Deader Than Ever. And here, I'll give you the song titles
just
to see where we're coming from. Apple Orchard.
Okay, Apple Orchard.
Yeah. Now, can I say the S word on the show, or are you going to hang up on me?
You just say S if you could.
Okay. S Stained City.
I could picture that as a, as like a, because it's like.
S Stained City, everybody lit it, ever, ever, you know, it's just like a rocker.
Yeah. And all down, go ahead. Down.
Down Moses Lake. Down Moses Lake. And that one's just like about, it's like a song describing this guy making love to his woman in the middle of the day by a lake.
Yeah. Rather than being at work.
Or like, yeah, it's just gross. It's like sweaty, nude man making love to a woman, like right at a lake, like where the water meets the rocks of a lake. It's horrible. And then we do a cover of A Hard Day's Night.
That's a perfect.
Yeah, but it's like really annoying because like it's a hard day's night.
Like, just
it's this real weird time signature for it. I've been working like a dog.
Like yeah,
it's
like
a Hard Day's Night.
Yeah, like they're finding the core. They think like they're finding the core of the thing.
Yeah, Mike. Living on a river.
Living on a river, Mike.
Yeah, living on the river. It's, you know, songs about jamborees and festivals.
What if this happened, Tim Heidecker?
Yeah.
You do this album. You play live. Suddenly, there's 30 times as many people that are at one of your shows are there suddenly. And then you find yourself. It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, I'm trapped.
You are the Grateful Dead all of a sudden. And you're
we can only assume that there was a moment when the band looked around and goes, this is what they want?
Yeah.
They want dancing in the streets?
Yeah, they don't want us to... They want more of this?
Jerry, did you notice, nobody left when we did 15 minutes of dancing in the streets?
No one left.
In fact, more people came in.
Yeah.
I apologize for my dead voice.
And then suddenly, they're like, how much money did we make tonight? And then they're just like, I think I know what we're going to be doing. one guy in the Grateful Dead talks like that. I think I speak for the rest of us when I say, I think I know what the rest of our year is going to be like.
Yeah. Robert Hunter, the lyricist, finds out that, I hear you guys are doing lots of covers. He's a little worried about his job because they don't need his lyrics already out there.
Yeah, because they're doing...
Not Fade Away.
Not Fade Away, yeah. They're doing a 75-minute version of Not Fade Away.
Do you think would happen if Buddy Holly came back?
Can you imagine
stumbled
that?
Into a Grateful Dead show in 93 and they launch into Not Fade Away for 25 minutes?
Yeah, can you imagine Buddy Holly... crosses back over to this world.
Giant Stadium.
Walks into Giant Stadium in 1989 or whatever. And somebody's like, and he's like, hey man, that's my song. And then he's like, I think, wait, no it isn't. And then then 10 minutes later, so like, wait, no, yeah it is. And 5 minutes later, he's like, no, it isn't. He's like, wait, no, I think it might be, though. I'm just not sure. And he's like...
They can't sing. They can't sing. They can't harmonize with each other. No one in the band is listening to the other people playing.
No.
It's really something else.
Bad news. It's bad news, Tim.
I know it's a trope to, go after the Grateful Dead, and I feel bad that we're spending that much time on it, but it's kind of like it needs to kind of, I think, be talked about a little, here and there.
I think there's so many people saying that they're actually good. That it's just we have to hold to this.
Hold the line.
Yeah, we have to hold this line because eventually you'll turn around, there'll be nobody saying they suck still.
Right. Yeah, there's got to be millennials, rock, young, 20-year-old rockers who are I actually think they're pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Pretty good, pardon me.
Okay.
Pretty good.
You.
I can't, Tom.
I know, look.
You relax. You put me into a place of relaxation and comfortability here, so my apologies.
It's all right. It's all right.
Okay.
But I do. I have to bring my next guest in.
Okay.
Now, let me just say this, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
Your album, In Glendale, I've seen you play live. I've seen you play these songs. It's great. People got to check this out. People got to check the album out. People, if you're on the West Coast, you see the band live.
Come up and say hello.
You come up and say hi. Maybe you get something signed. Maybe not.
Sure.
Maybe that's pushing it. Don't. Just say hi, right? Just say hi. Is that your favorite interaction with a fan? Hey, Tim. Hey, man.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Pat on the back.
Yeah.
I'll take a pat on the back.
You'll take a pat on the back. Great job, Tim. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Over the barricade, you're just doing it. You're trying to navigate this, with still, a stage barricade between the person patting you on the back.
I try to, do the eye contact for the minimum... I do want to make eye contact.
Yeah.
It's rude not to make eye contact, but you don't want to carry that on more than you need to.
No. So That's what people can look forward to at these West Coast Tim Heidecker concerts.
Yeah, big time fan interaction. It's a fan event.
But
it's,
you know,
it's
what?
All about, yeah.
They're going to go and you're going to do the thing and they're going to be like, you know what? I don't need to say hi to this guy. He said hi to me through his music.
That's very well put.
Yes.
Very well put.
So in Glendale.
In Glendale, and of course, the new season of Decker is coming as well.
Right.
We didn't get to talk about that, but you don't need to know anything other than to watch.
Can't wait. Decker, my favorite.
Nice talking to you, Tom, and I want to just make a note that this is the only time I've ever talked to you, not in some kind of, you know, steeped in some kind of bit.
It's true. This is it.
After 10 years of like, occasionally calling in and... Oh. Having fun with you and your show and your wonderful audience.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you for being supportive and a friend.
Oh, well, thank you. And also, this will not happen again. This version of you. Like enjoy it now. Because this guy.
That would be so preposterous to make that announcement.
Yeah, if you're
like
just
anyone
like.
Cares.
You're like, and this guy is gone.
And like that?
Yeah.
He's gone.
And yes, there goes...
Like grasping a ghost.
And there he goes, off into the distance. Well, Tim,
you know how much
I love you, and I will talk to you very soon. And the album's great.
All right.
And
thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Bye.
Bye. But that, Tim Heidecker checking in. You like that, Mike? Mike's mad now. Mike's mad. He didn't like that Grateful Dead talk. He takes it personally. Thanks again for listening to Best Show Best. And I want to thank Martin DeGrell for supervising the episodes of Best Show Best. And of course, much thanks to Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Sellis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, of course, John Worster. Who else? Marcia Neumeier. And yeah, you, the Best Show listener. Thank you. And if you like this, check out the full show every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight at thebestshow.net and support The Best Show, patreon.com/thebestshow. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.